Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson, the show where we remind dads of what really matters. I'm Scott Moore, your host and the sidekick for the Family Man Show. Thanks for joining us today. How's it going, Todd?
Well, you know the saying that goes, "Why can't anything be easy?" That's how my week has felt. You know, we've got 2.5 weeks before we hit the road in October. For kind of an extended speaking tour, some R&R in the middle of that. And, you know, we travel around in a big RV, and so a big RV has big problems and big issues and things. I try to stay on top of those things. And, you know, I've got this big air filter. Remember, I even mentioned it the last time we talked. Yeah. I've got this big air filter, you know, and so I thought, I'm going to just make sure, you know, I give them plenty of time. So I contacted them 3 or 4 weeks ago. They ordered it, and then I checked in about a week later. They'd forgotten to order it. It finally came in about 2 weeks later. I just picked it up yesterday, and guess what? It doesn't fit. Oh, and so, you know, I mean, that's not insurmountable. But it looked close, and I took it back to them, and the person at the place that I've always worked at, you know, she's looking up the numbers. She goes, "Well, that's the right one." I'm like, "It doesn't fit." And we measured it, and it was just, in measurements, it's really, really close. Just less than an eighth of an inch big round. I said, "Well, maybe I," you know, we found a little bulge in it, and we kind of pounded it down. I thought, "Well, maybe that." So I drove.
I was going to ask, isn't that what the hammer's for?
Exactly. But I don't want to have a $50 no returnable filter. So I took it back or I brought it back home, you know, after a half an hour drive each way, and guess what? It still doesn't fit. I don't know what I'm gonna do, but that's just the way it goes. I picked up a new air conditioner for the roof yesterday. Hopefully that'll go up easy. That's a bear. Have you ever tried to lift one of those to the top of an RV on a ladder? Not easy. But you know, it just feels like that's the way it always goes. You know, you go to start this little project and you just need that one little screw that you don't have or that one little nut that doesn't fit. I was like, you know, I was going to tape something up with some electrical tape. And I can never find my electrical tape. My kids are like drawn to electrical tape like sharks to blood. You know, they get that stuff and they cover everything. And so it's like I have to hide it or they'll, you know, they cover seats and tools and I guess it's just fun to wrap around things. So, I don't know. So it's just like one of those weeks to just like, you know, maybe things could change a little bit. In fact, I was like working on this thing yesterday in my RV, trying to string up this curtain that goes around the front, you know, so when you go to bed, you can close the front curtain off. And it has all these little gliders that fit on this track. And I'm putting this up, and I'm getting super frustrated. And I'm like, I had one son helping me, and I send him back inside because I didn't want any people helping me. And I, you know, it was kind of like, you know, where you have that reality check, like, well, at least you don't have cancer, Todd, or you're not dying. And then, but after a few minutes, it's like, I'd rather have cancer than have trouble with this, you know. And I'm thinking, what are you doing, Todd? I know that's not true, but sometimes those little things. Become awful big. How about your week, Scott? What's going on?
Yeah, it's been a kind of a roller coaster ride this weekend. I think I mentioned before, we went up to Cleveland to celebrate my parents' 50th anniversary, which was a blast. I saw lots of relatives I haven't seen in a long time. And we got to stay with my brother-in-law, who lives up close to there as well. And that was fun. They have a little kind of a mini RV, one of those little pop-up campers, and they had that in the garage, and his four kids and my four kids all slept out in the little pop-up camper. So that was a blast. But yeah, it was a great time celebrating the anniversary and all that. And you know, it reminds me of just how important all this family stuff is, that you know, one of my good friends that was there that I haven't seen in years and years, we kind of grew up together. He wasn't really a cousin, but he felt like it because his parents and my parents were such good friends, and we always saw each other when we would go up to my grandparents' house. And I saw him, and we realized it had been almost 15 years since we'd seen each other last, and I couldn't believe it. because it was just like no time had gone by when we got together again. You know, it was easy to talk to him and just a great time. So, you know, it was a lot of great memories floating around there and seeing my what's left of my grandparents' farm. My uncle has his little, it was called Doug's Sugar Shack, his little tiny garage-type barn behind his house on the farm there where he used to brew maple syrup. He would tap the trees himself there and do all that. But he's about pushing 80 now, so he's stopped making the maple syrup. But it was neat to see that and get some pictures with my boys on the tractor there in front of the sugar shack and all that. But then we got to come home and had a sad day yesterday. We had to put down our cat that we've had for almost 18 years.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah, he was actually born at my mother-in-law's house from the farm cat from her parents' farm. So it was tough, and we're sad today, but we're making it.
Yeah, that's a hard thing for dads. You know, I'm a little nervous about our dog. Our dog's like about 14 years old, but I don't like my dog. In fact, you know, I wanted a long time for my dog to die. But now I've kind of like, I've spoken so much about that. I know he's going to die and then I'm going to look like the bad guy, whether I ended his life or not, it's going to be my fault. So I've been kind of trying to undo that, you know? And so when they say, don't you love our dog Chewy? I'm like, yeah, I do. You know, Chewy's like a Chihuahua and he's not likable to me, but anyway, you know, so, but that's the way it goes. I know we were, just got back from Iowa this past week, and I was able to spend some time with my son, Samuel. We had a great time. And, you know, one of the great things about traveling and one of the things I'm looking forward to, and I was going to tell you our schedule here, is that I like seeing those odd things. I like seeing those, you know, one-of-a-kind things, like, you know, like the world's largest bottle of ketchup or, you know, the birthplace of the corn dog. But we were driving down the street in Marion, Iowa, and I saw this giant, and by giant, I mean at least taller than I was, 8-9 feet, dung beetle made out of junk. And I mean, I'm just like, look at that, Sam. And he's like, what? And I'm like, it's a dung beetle made out of junk. And so we pulled over and I had to get my picture taken with it. And very impressive. In fact, I was just going to tell you, just our little travel schedule, in case you're out there, we're going to be in, starting around October the 4th, not starting, on October 4th, we'll be in Troy, Ohio. We're going to Toledo, Ohio right after that. We'll be in Pittsburgh and State College, Pennsylvania, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Reading, Pennsylvania, Cumberland, Maryland, Raleigh, North Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina, and finishing up in St. Augustine, Florida. And, you know, on the, because someone asked me just real recently, in November, I think it's the third and the second through the fourth, I'm going to be doing a marriage retreat up in upper Wisconsin. I don't know. I know they have the upper peninsula in Michigan. I don't know what upper Wisconsin is called, but Camp Forest Springs, you can see it on our website. And someone asked me yesterday, I got an email like, so, Todd, I'm thinking about going to the marriage retreat, but you know, it kind of scares us because we've never been to a marriage retreat. My wife, who likes to know what are things going to be like, you know, is freaking out like, well, what are we going to have to do? If you want a good weekend away, where just you and your wife can hold hands, listen to a mediocre speaker, that'd be me, just for a session in the morning, session in the evening. And then you have lots of free time during the day. You can take walks during the afternoon. You can take a nap. You can play shuffleboard. You can play games. They have a big lake, but it's outdoors. It smells fresh. There's lots to do in the outdoors if you just want to hang out. But I'm telling you, if you need to get away from your kids or away from life just for a weekend, this is a great time to do it. Hey, Scott, I know that you've been checking out the news desk. Anything happening in the Family Man news world?
Yeah, but hey, first, I want to say go to the marriage conference. If you're debating it, just go, because it'll be great. Great time for any married couple is to get away and have a little marriage retreat. My wife and I have been on quite a few of those, and they're always, even if the content isn't mind-blowing, which it certainly will be with you.
Mind-blowing, mind-blowing.
No mediocre speakers here. But,
that's right.
It'll be a good time, so go. And you know, one of these days we're going to have to sponsor a Family Man marriage conference, I think. Do like your own official Family Man conference.
That's true. Now, Scott, I don't know if you're like me, but, you know, I'm the kind of guy, though, you know, if my wife were saying, oh, there's a marriage retreat coming up, in my head, I might say out loud, oh, that sounds like fun. But in my head, I'm thinking, oh, you know, it's hard to give up a weekend. You know, it costs money. I just think we're going to sit around in a circle or in a big group and, you know, they're going to just tell me how bad I am. And, you know, we're going to have to give each other, turn to the person on your right and give them a shoulder massage. And I don't want to do that. But, you know, I'm also the type who may not want to do that, but I know it's good not only for my wife, but good for me. And inevitably, not only does it make my wife feel like I'm committed to our marriage, but it always turns out to be a really good time. I don't know if you feel that way, but I know other guys do as well.
I do, and even on the tough ones where the issues come up that you didn't want to talk about,
right.
they need to be talked about. So it's going to happen at some point, and better now than later.
Exactly. I hear you.
So, hey, in the news department, though, I found a weird story here. And actually, this one wasn't so much weird as it was just frightening. There's a dad who got to be a real-life hero to his son and family. On September 16th, just a few days ago, an 11-year-old boy was probably saved, or certainly at least saved from injury, if not saved his life, when his dad pushed him out of the way of a car that had just plowed off the road and right into their home. The family was in the yard of their Aurora, Illinois home on Sunday night when a car careened out of control and off the road. Dad shoved his son and the other family members out of the way of the oncoming car just before the car crashed into their house. The son was taken to the hospital as a precaution, and the driver of the car had minor injuries. And the house, on the other hand, was damaged, though not severely.
That's never happened to me before. I've never had a car drive through my house, but
oddly, I have been in a building where someone did crash into the building.
You're kidding?
No, at a restaurant where I delivered pizzas.
It was a teenage girl, right?
No, it was an angry dad, I think.
You're kidding.
He accidentally hit the gas instead of the brake when he was backing out from picking up his pizzas. And slammed right through the front wall and window there. And there was a bench there, actually, which thankfully no one was sitting on because they would have been in real trouble. I was in the back room, and it sounded like every dish in the kitchen exploded all at the same time.
Really?
I guess that was the window exploding, but it
was
freaky.
He was angry because he didn't get, like, the right kind of dipping sauces? Or
no, I'm not sure. I think he just had a bad day. But he was having a really bad day after that, so... Which brings us in a roundabout way to our topic for today. Some people want someone to be that hero for their family when dad has failed to live out his role. And when dad isn't there, we often see people turning to any other role model they can find for their kids, or just someone who might be able to fill that role, even the government, which we're going to talk about that a little bit today, kind of grab that third rail of podcasting and talk a little bit about politics and government and all that. But don't turn us off just yet. We're not going to offend everybody, or maybe we will, but that's okay.
We will. We'll offend everyone. And because, you know, I'm going to just set the stage right now. You know, I'm not a huge follower of the whole thing. But you know, we'll go to McDonald's and it fills the television screens. It fills the radio waves. You know, about Mitt and his running partner and Barack and what's going on there. And, you know, of course, they're, you know, if you vote for either one of them, that will be the answer to all our problems. But, you know, Scott, you'd written on your blog just about, you know, some of your thoughts on government and God. And maybe, you know, I do see a lot of us maybe relying a little bit more on government than God. And, you know, understandably so. You know, government is right there. We can dial it in. We can have seemingly some control about it. But what were some of your thoughts? I thought you did a great job on your blog.
Well, thank you. You know, I have to give a little bit of credit to John Eldridge. I was listening to his podcast, the Ransom Heart podcast, recently, and they got talking a little bit about this. And that's what spurred me to think about it more. And, you know, I was just thinking, what do we do when we ask the government to play God's part? Because sometimes that's what people have done. We want the government to be doing charity work. And, you know, it happened. I mean, it's happened all along with different presidents or different administrations, from faith-based initiatives to, you know, whatever kinds of things, charities that the government does, welfare and such. And I'm not saying that those are all terrible things. It's nice to live in a country where we have so much abundance that we can help people out. But at the same time, I have to wonder, okay, what did Jesus think about this? What did he say about the role of government in our lives? Because, you know, did he say, don't worry about your life? Don't worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? Your government knows that you need these things. Seek first the government and its laws, and all these things will be given to you as well.
Ouch, that kind of hurts a little bit there, Scott. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to start complaining.
Yeah, he didn't say that. So, but what he did say is don't worry about these things. The pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. That's Matthew 6:31-33. And, but I think in a lot of cases we have asked the government to take the place of God and of the Father in families in America. And you know, you see that around the world as well, where the government has just taken over providing for people, and it doesn't work out so well usually.
I think you're exactly right. I mean, I think you're exactly right. And, you know, and even as a father, you know, I think that all that worry that you talk about, because I know lots of dads who are like in a panic thinking, man, if this guy gets elected, we're done for. And, you know, whether we're done for or not, the truth is we don't have to worry. Because like you said, you know, God's in control. And that's the truth, isn't it? I mean, is God really in control of all this? That he sets up the rulers and authorities? And the answer is yes. But I think we teach our kids that God is not in control. You know, I know it's easy to say that. In fact, we have our family devotions at our house. And we'll often sing, you know, He's got the whole world in His hands. And yet sometimes I show them just the opposite. I know one time we were up in, we were driving our RV and, oh, we were on our way to Duluth, Minnesota, and we stopped in Janesville, Wisconsin, because we were having some RV problems. And I was outside the RV just pacing like a lion. And one of my kids, you know, he sticks his head out the window and says, hey, Dad, maybe we ought to sing. And I'm like, sing? Why would we sing? Are you crazy? You know, and he said, you know, Dad, like, He's got the whole world in His hands. And I think, you know, right then I was teaching my sons and daughters that God cannot be trusted. We can say what we want. We can say, oh, yeah, He's in control of everything. He's got the whole world in His hands. But when it comes, you know, push comes to shove, or, you know, when we're about to lose our house, or when someone's going to be elected who maybe we don't agree with, that, though, you know, we act like the whole world's falling apart, that God can't be trusted. And He can be trusted, can't He, Scott?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's terrifying, though. I mean, I get those same worries when I'm, you know, and it's great how our kids pull us back to reality like that. You know,
because that is reality. That is the reality. I mean, the worry part is the non-reality. And I think as a dad, this is even bigger than just them seeing us worry. This is us training them for their future, because one day they're going to have, you know, presidents and government officials who are way worse than ours. You know, the things we're facing, they're going to face way worse things. You know, we're facing economy struggles, they're going to have economy struggles. And that's why I think we let our kids view our lives, you know. And so I think, you know, as a dad, you know, if you've been freaking out, maybe we need to gather our little family in a circle and say, you know, pick out some of those verses that you just mentioned and say, you know, God's in control. Would you forgive me for worrying about it? Because I don't need to worry, because He's going to take care of us. He's going to work it all according to His plan. Yes, we still vote. Yes, we can still be, you know, hold our signs. Yes, we can still be active and all those things. But we do not need to worry. And I think, you know, we do not need to worry, not only for ourselves, but so that we can train our sons and daughters that they don't need to worry, because the when their moms and dads, God will still have the whole world in his hands. And I, you know, I even have a question for you, Scott.
Sure.
You know, thinking about this presidential thing, and I mean, it's taken up a lot of the airwaves and a lot of, you know, commentators' thoughts. And which president had the hugest impact in your life that, you know, that I guess ruled is not the right word, but administration, which president had the greatest impact in your life in your, I don't know, 40 plus years?
Oh, which one had the greatest impact? Probably Ronald Reagan. I still, you know, like a lot of people remember where they were when they heard Kennedy was shot. I remember I was walking home from elementary school, and I believe it was fourth grade, maybe fifth grade, when a friend came out. He had gotten to his house, and he came out and said, "Hey, the president was shot." And, you know, it's just one of those memories that stuck there. And I didn't know much about what the president did back then. But as I've grown up, I've learned more about him and what he really did as a president, and I admire him a lot. And think he did a lot to roll back some of the evils in our world and keep us safe. So I like him. What about you?
You know, I agree. I really am a Reagan fan. We visited his presidential museum over in Simi Valley in California this past November. I think we were there. And I'll tell you, you can't help walk through that thing and feel patriotic, because if you can say what you want about Ronald Reagan, but he loved this country. Mm-hmm. I was also impressed because he loved his wife. But when I ask you that question, it was really a trick question, because the answer is really for every person, probably, you know, we're hard pressed to say which president really impacted our life. Now, we may have liked him. We may have felt good and warm and fuzzy towards him. But really, you're probably not, you know, who you are. You're probably not going to struggle with all these things, or not struggle with these things, or achieve or not achieve because of a president. Because the truth is, I believe that the greatest things that happen do not happen in the White House, but they happen in your house. You know, but I would say probably, you know, if you had to think about it, and we all would, probably the greatest person who ever impacted your life outside of God was your father. And I know some listeners don't have a dad, you know, or they never knew their dad, but even that absence is a huge impact. You cannot get around that. You know, some of the things I struggle with, I'm sure my dad struggles with. Some of the things that I don't struggle with, it's because he didn't struggle with them. You know, I learned about family. I learned about God. I learned about, you know, my place in my, and how things work. I learned about how to cut grass and change the oil, all from my dad. And I think, you know, I think sometimes we get sidetracked into thinking that those things that are happening over in Washington are the big deal things. I'll tell you, the great big deal things are things that are happening in Scott Moore's house today and yesterday, when the cat had to be put to sleep. I mean, how you interact with your children will never, ever be forgotten. You know, but those presidential things... You know, I can't even remember some of the president. In fact, we were I was doing something for the UDAD Daily Calendar that's going to come out in about a month or so, and I was typing in the birth date of one of our presidents, and I typed in his name, and I didn't even know the name. I'd never heard the name in my whole life. I did not know he was the president of the United States, one of 46 or whatever, and that just blows me away. You know, that someone that great can really be that insignificant in my life. In fact, talking about Ronald Reagan, you know, I thought one of the most powerful things that I'd ever heard about him was they were interviewing his son, I think Michael Reagan, and President Reagan, former President Reagan, was still in the still alive. He was in a nursing home, and of course, he was suffering from Alzheimer's. And his son said, "My dad doesn't remember being the president." And I thought, what? He doesn't remember being the president of the United States. He doesn't remember all those state dinners. He doesn't remember any of that. He doesn't remember living in the White House. But he still remembered his son. And I think that's because being a dad is more powerful than being being a president. So, Dad, listening, what you're doing is mighty important stuff. It's way more important than what's happening in the news. And sometimes I feel I kind of struggle with that, because especially with this present president, Barack Obama, he's just a little bit older than I am. And I remember when he was elected, I thought, you know, he's just a couple years older than I am, and he's the president of the United States. You know, he gets to do all these important things. He gets to change directions of the country. He gets to influence the world. And, you know, I was just like, God, would you allow me to do something significant like that? And it was like he whispered in my heart, Todd, you are doing something more significant, because I'm influencing the world through my children. You know, Scott, you're influencing the world through those children. And who knows what will happen, what choices they will make, or how they will comfort their children by the way you comforted yours over the death of a cat. Because that's huge. So those are my thoughts on this situation. And don't quote me on any of it. Don't write me and say I should be a better citizen, because I probably should be a better citizen, you know. But I'm pretty busy in the Wilson house, and that takes up all my time. So I don't know. Do we have any time for any other questions or anything, Scott?
Yeah, we can do one or two. We can do one or two here. There's a couple we've been saving up for a while that go hand in hand, kind of. There's two dads who are struggling with work situations, and I'll just read through them really quick. Todd, my wife has given me your You to Dad desk calendar as a Christmas present the last 2 years. It is a great calendar and is funny and encouraging at the same time. Every now and then I am frustrated. Yeah, it was. No, it wasn't. He wrote it right there. Every now and then I am frustrated by words of advice you give dads. So, yeah, maybe it's not a commercial. He's frustrated with you.
That's okay. I'm okay with that.
The words of advice you give dads who spend a lot of time at work. I agree with you wholeheartedly that men who value their jobs more than their family need to adjust their priorities. What frustrates me is that the job I have requires me to work excessive hours whether I want to or not. I wish I could spend more time away from work and more time at home. Even now, I am in my office on a Saturday during summer because my workload demands it. What advice do you have for a dad who is stuck in an overwhelming job and can't break away for fear of losing the job? I've been looking for another job for over 3 years, and the market is just not that favorable. What complicates it is our financial situation and our underwater mortgage, which basically chains us to this location. I've talked to my boss, but he is more interested in figuring out ways to give me more work than relieving me. I would walk out, but I have to provide for my wife and 4 kids. You know how it goes. Thanks for taking time to read this, and thank you for your ministry.
Oh, man, I know that's hard. I know that's hard. But, you know, here's the deal. Dads, none of us are victims. You know, we are not victims of where we're at. You know, if the truth is, if you want to work less, then you can decide that. You know, if you want to not spend so many your Saturdays, then you can decide that. You know, but I don't like when dads will say, well, I have to. No, that's not true. We sometimes choose. Yes, to choose that, we may have to make some really rough choices. You know, we may have to go without some things. Yes, we may have to lose our house. We may have to take a loss on our house. We may not be able to have 3 cars. We might have to have 2 junkers instead of 2 shiny ones. But you're not a victim. You're not, you know, it's not just a toss of the dice. Yes, you are responsible to take care of your family, but you're not responsible to provide, you know, all the luxuries that we sometimes think you have to have. You know, I would go to your boss, and I would not ask him how to get out of, you know, how to have less, because I think that's, why wouldn't they ask us to have more, to do more? I would say, boss, this is what I can do and what I cannot do. I can't work on Saturdays because I need to be home with my family. You know, you said you've been looking for 3 years. That means I assume you've been working a lot of Saturdays for 3 years. You've lost all those Saturdays. You cannot get them back. And what have you gained? I say this nicely, nothing. You've gained nothing, you know? And so I'd say to my boss, you know, I can't work on Saturdays. If that doesn't work well, then I'm going to have to quit. You know, I had a friend who worked gobs and gobs and gobs of hours, and he finally told his boss, you know, I'm going to, he wanted to be a missionary. He said, I'm going to have to quit because we're going to go to the mission field. And the boss said, I'll tell you what, we'll let you work just 2 days online and we're going to pay you the same as your normal salary. And I'm thinking, why didn't he do that before? Because he thought, you know, his boss wouldn't stand for it. And the truth is, if you've been doing such a good job, you might, they don't want to get rid of someone like that. So I would do what it takes. I'll tell you, you only get one shot at this. You know, I heard a guy say, life's like a quarter. You can spend it on anything you like, but you can only spend it once. And that's the truth. Don't blow it in the dad department. If you got to blow it somewhere else, blow it there. But don't blow it in the dad department. And, you know, I feel sorry for you that you've missed out on things, but I feel even more sorry for your children because they've missed out on things. They need their dad there. Your wife needs her husband there. You know, I think they'll go without a lot of things just to have you there. And I wouldn't worry about plan B. You know, I think sometimes we put off doing something because we don't have a good plan B. I always say, if you don't have a very good plan A, get out of it. Don't worry about plan B. Even if you don't have a plan B, don't keep doing a bad plan A. So, Dad, I know it's hard. I know it's easier to say it than to do it. But I would do it because your time is running out. How about that other question, Scott?
You know, it was really similar, and I'm thinking maybe we should save that one and devote a whole show to this topic because I've got a lot of ideas that for resources for dads who are struggling with that because it's such a big issue, what to do for work and how much to work and all that stuff that I think we probably need to talk a little more about that. What do you think?
Well, that sounds great. So then we'll cue the music, and I'll tell you, you know, things aren't going to be easy today, but, you know, you did that.
All right. Thanks, Todd. Yeah, let's hit that topic next week. We'll talk about work and all things surrounding work and how to make your work life better and your home life better as well. So thanks for listening to The Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. Please leave us a review on iTunes and connect with Todd and the whole Family Man Ministries team online at familymanweb.com. You can follow me, Scott Moore, at thecallofmen.com. Don't forget to mark your calendar for October 1st and 2nd when Todd will be on Focus on the Family. If you don't know that, just check out family.org for their website. He'll be talking about what husbands need most, and it will be a great show, I'm sure. And if you're looking for some other great dad resources, games, and fun other stuff, check out the products on familyman.com website. If you have, or if any of you dads have a wife who is homeschooling, Help, I'm Married to a Homeschooling Wife is a must-read. Join us next week for the Family Man Show as Todd and I talk about work. You don't want to miss it. Until then, have a great week.